San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, January 11, 2026. Today's lesson is A Grand New Day with Dr. Constance Cook Kaur.
Good morning,
and welcome home to San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. I'm reminded of something that Reverend John used to say at the beginning of his services, and that is,
Namaste.
I am standing in the presence of greatness, and that greatness is all of you. So let's anchor ourselves in, as we do every Sunday. There's one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is. So today is January 11th. And we're starting a grand new year with our 2026 theme, Living in Spiritual Truth. Living in Spiritual Truth. And it's also a grand new energy cycle. 2025 was a 9-year. It was the 9th year of an energy cycle. And so we're letting go of all of that energy from before, and we're starting a brand new spiritual cycle, brand new energy cycle in 2026, which is a 1-year. And you go, well, how do you know it's a 9-year? And how do you know it's a 1-year? Well, you add up the digits and you add them up and you keep breaking down, adding whatever digits you have until you're down to one digit. And that's for 2025. 2 + 2 + 5 = 9. For 2026, 2 + 2 + 6 = 10, but 1 + 0 = 1. So it's a 1 year. So we have a few things that we are introducing with this new energy in the new year. And one of it is our new service schedule. We're going to 2 Sundays per month instead of 4 or 5 when there's 5 Sundays in a month. We're going to be having services on the 2nd Sunday of the month and the 4th Sunday of the month. Those are the 2 that we're going to have. And we have absolute faith in this updated schedule and our lessons. Because we're going to have the meditation, we're going to have the service, we'll have just a little break, or like today we're having our potluck. And during that time that we're having the potluck, and after the break on the 4th week, we are going to be having spiritual discussions, metaphysical discussions of whatever you need to talk about, whatever questions you have, bring them. And if they also are in alignment with the theme of the month, all the better. I'd also like to remind you that last Sunday we did our 2026 affirmative prayer process. We still have over here on the side table the form and the envelope for it. If you want instructions and guidance for how to do it, if you haven't done it before, then you can listen to our lesson, the podcast of our lesson for January 4th, which is on the website. So it'll walk you through it, but everybody that I see here has done it many times. And so sitting and listening to the process is a gift, but you do know how to do what to write down anyway. So we have this new theme of living in spiritual truth. And when we do that, what we're doing is we're going to be learning how to embrace and recognize spiritual truth. We're going to learn, we're going to come to an understanding that we already are living in spiritual truth. It's like when we say, there's one life, it's God's life, and it's my life now. There's only one power, one presence, one source. We know that. But do we feel it? Do we feel it? So we know that we are living in spiritual truth, but we're going to increase our conscious awareness of that spiritual truth in, as, and through us. And that's going to be a lot of fun. In The 12 Powers of Man, on page 15, Charles Fillmore wrote, "When man is developing out of mere personal consciousness into spiritual consciousness, he begins to train deeper and larger powers." To train deeper and larger powers. Because he's moving from thinking as a human being, and in order to get power, I have to do something, to understanding through his spiritual consciousness that the power is already there. There's a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it. Ernest Holmes told us this over and over and over. So what we're going to be doing is receiving this truth into our conscious mind. It's going to be awakening and regenerating our subconscious mind through the superconscious mind, or through the Christ mind. If you think about, give us an analogy of a business. You know, you can start a business. It can start as a hobby, one person doing it, and then you get a few people helping you. And so your business is expanding. You need a few rules, a few policies and procedures. And the bigger it gets, the more helpers you need. You go from a few helpers to many helpers to departments and department heads. And guess what? That's the same thing that happens with the opening of our consciousness, our spiritual truth, that we are living in spiritual truth. And so there is a spiritual system that supports us. There are books and teachers that support us in this process. And so just remember that we are developing this process in our consciousness. We're not creating something new because it already exists. We are inviting ourselves to have a better grasp, a better understanding of it, of the fact that we are living in spiritual truth. So we have monthly themes, 12 monthly themes that are going to help us and guide us on this path. And each theme is the truth of something. And so we will be exploring the truth of whatever the theme is for that month. For January, it's the truth of faith. The truth of faith. And that's a big deal. We'll get into that more today, and on the January 25th, Reverend Mark is going to be getting into it. Now, February is the truth of strength. And that's where we're going to be looking at mastering spiritual over material based on our faith. We will see that things have this spiritual strength, That it doesn't depend on how much weight I can pick up, if I can carry a 50-pound bag or if I can carry a 12-ounce soda. It has nothing to do with physical strength. It's all our spiritual strength over materiality. March. The truth of discernment. And discernment is our ability to use spiritual wisdom. That's what discernment is. April is the truth of love. So we're not isolating love in February this year, or as so many people think of love around Valentine's Day and during February. No, the truth of love is that it's a catalyst of creativity. It's a catalyst of creativity, and we'll explore that in April. May is another really good one. It's the truth of power, and we're going to look at the power of the word and the power that is inherent in everything we think and say and do. It is an infinite power. There's a word that isn't popping into my head right now, but it's when something is started in perpetual motion. When you start something in motion, usually, according to physical law, it has a certain amount of energy that it will expend, and then it will stop moving. It's like I throw a ball, and it's got the motion of going through the air, landing, maybe bouncing a few times, and then it sits still. It's expended the energy that I gave it. Well, the power of the word, the power of spirit and the energy is perpetual. It is always happening, always. There is no way to stop it because it is energy itself. In June, we're going to look at the truth of imagination and the effect of being a part of the whole. Did you know that if there were not a wholeness, a oneness, well, for one thing, we wouldn't exist, but even if we somehow managed to exist, we would have no imagination. Because imagination is when we are connected into the one mind that knows everything. In July, it's the truth of understanding. The truth of understanding. Now, that's not just knowing. That's comprehending. Comprehending. It's grasping the meaning of things. I came up with an odd analogy here for understanding. There are cars parked on the street. We see the car. We know there's a car. We accept that there's a car. We understand that the car is parked right there. But if we truly understand about cars, we know that they are used for transportation. They are used for carrying things. There is a way to drive them. They need maintenance. They need gas. All these different things is our understanding of how to use the car, other than just seeing a car sitting parked. For August, the truth of choice. And you know, my favorite quote by Ernest Holmes is, "You cannot have a choiceless life." It's on page 143 in the Science of Mind textbook. And I have quoted it many times, and I have my little tab marker there. But truly, we cannot have a choiceless life. The fact that you are sitting here today means you made a whole lot of choices just to wake up, get dressed, and transport yourself here today. A lot of choices involved. A lot of choices. Were you going to put on your right shoe first or your left shoe? I mean, people don't think of how many choices we make all the time, because so many of the things that we do become habit. But that is August, the truth of choice. Then for September, the truth of divine order. For October, the truth of spiritual enthusiasm. November, the truth of sacred denial. I'm really looking forward to that one. And December, we're wrapping it up with the truth of living in spirit. So we're living in spiritual truth, and our last month is the truth of living in spirit. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We've got 12 months to learn about and put into practice living in spirit. The lessons that we will be giving this year, there's something that we've been doing always, but that people aren't really aware of. The lessons that we present, we deliver them such that wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you will understand the depth of the lesson at your current level of understanding. So people who have been studying and developing their consciousness for decades, these people will find something in it. And people who consider themselves new to the teachings, they will find something in it. Because it isn't so much about learning. Yeah, we say we're teaching, but what we're really doing is helping you remember. These lessons awaken soul-deep memories of who you already are and what you already know. Everything you think you are learning, you are remembering, putting yourself back together with this truth. And that's the truth of faith. Knowing that you already know everything you need to know, and knowing beyond knowing that all is well, all is complete in the invisible, all is good. It's a knowing so complete that doubt or fear have no place, because they were never real in the first place. In the Bible, in James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Faith, belief, don't doubt, have faith. Ernest Holmes, who I've mentioned his name a few times, he is the founder of the Religious Science and Science of Mind movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. And he says it this way: if we would come to the universal wholeness, we must approach it through the law of its own nature. This means that we must give our undivided attention to the spiritual unit back of all things. Since all else is included within this unit, we find our particular good only through unity with life. This conscious unity makes our mind receptive to completion, since life itself is complete. This perception is always an inner light, for the individual can use only such knowledge as he inwardly possesses. In reality, we know God or truth only as we ourselves embody God or truth. And since it's impossible to embody anything outside ourselves, this knowledge must be an inner light. The truth itself is infinite, but we only embody the infinite in degree. To the degree that we do embody reality, we become poised and powerful. So what's he saying? He's saying that we, in accordance with our faith, we can do anything. We're one with the entire universe. We approach the universe knowing that we are one with everything in it, and all the power of the universe is inherent within us. And we know this. We get to a point through living in spiritual truth. We're working on getting to the point where we know beyond knowing, beyond knowing, beyond knowing, that it's all God, it's all spirit, it's all good, it's all energy. We can't be separated from what we already are. The truth of faith is only hinted at in spiritual scriptures and self-help books. Affirmations and the scientific structure of affirmative prayer are tools. They are tools. We teach you these tools, and we say out loud, when we're giving treatment for someone, we say it out loud for your benefit, so that you can participate in the process of increasing your faith during this time of learning, remembering, and practicing the experience of seeing the results, the demonstrations, the manifestations of your belief in the process. Phineas Parker Quimby was the founder of New Thought. And when he did mental treatment, the healings that he did, he was silent. He didn't say a word. But he had the patient do something during the time he was treating them, so that the patient would think that something was happening. A lot of the patients were not at the level where they could inherently know what mental work was or how it worked. So he would have them sip clear water, or he would have them do something, you know, sit still, do this, do that, so that they would think that something that I'm doing is making this work, when all it was really doing was helping to focus their attention, keep them from being distracted by all the things going on around them. Human beings get distracted so easily. There's a TV commercial about a dog running around and being well-behaved, and then squirrel! They see a squirrel and they take off. Now, human beings are not dogs, but we all have our squirrel call. So we are doing these so to support people in understanding their own growth. When we tell you that what you think about comes about in accordance with your belief, this is true. When we tell you that changing your thinking changes how you experience life, this is true. But these are still spiritual tools to be used for your mental work. When you use these tools on a regular basis and see positive results in small things, then you begin to use them more frequently. And for what you consider larger issues, the truth remains that size and complexity are human constructs. And these human constructs are ways to foster lack and limitation through prioritization. When those words moved out of out of my hand onto the paper, and I looked at him. I thought, whoa, yeah. So I'm going to say that again because it was given to me. The truth remains that size and complexity are human constructs. They are ways to foster lack and limitation through prioritization. And this sadly is deeply embedded in the human psyche, in what we call the race consciousness of our planet, the overall thinking patterns of our planet, because it makes sense to us. Prioritization makes sense to us. And every business guide, business guru, the ones that talk about how to be a good manager, how to build a good business, they all talk about prioritization. They do. And it makes sense when we are looking at things in a human perspective. When we are looking at the truth of faith, we understand there is no priority. There is no big, there is no little. Everything that we think, everything that we do is imbued with maximum power. Even little things get the same power and attention as bigger things. I had an example that came to me. Human life is more important to us than the color of the front door on your home. Human life is more important to us than the color of the front door on your home. And even I would have to agree with this. Given the choice of caring for one or the other in a time of need, am I going to worry about what color my front door is? Or am I going to stop the bleeding? But that is also a part of the truth of faith. Trusting that the world will not end based on the color of my front door. But here's an example where the front door and human life were one and the same. It tells us in the Bible that when Moses went to the Pharaoh and he was trying to free all the captives in Egypt, and Moses went to the Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And the Pharaoh said, "Nope," 9 times. Through 9 different plagues, Pharaoh kept saying no. So God said, "I'm tired of playing with you. Let my people go, or I'll kill the firstborn son of every family." The Pharaoh laughed, and the Jewish captives cringed. Imagine them going to Moses and saying, "Dude, we want to go home and all, but not at the expense of our children." Even then, people recognized the inherent value of human life. But God gave a solution that increased their faith by requiring attention on their part, requiring action on their part. God told Moses, and Moses relayed God's instructions. And he said, "Slaughter a pure lamb and collect its blood. Cut branches from the hyssop bush," H-Y-S-S-O-P. "Dip these hyssop branches in the lamb's blood and spread the blood on the lintels of your front door." So what is a lintel? Sometimes in modern construction terms, we call it a header. It's the crucial horizontal beam spanning the top of a doorway, supporting the weight of the wall and the structure above. It allows for openings without compromising building integrity. For instance, right here, there's a door. Within the wall, right above the door, is a lintel that crosses this whole space and is supported by studs on the side, so that the upstairs doesn't come tumbling down into the downstairs. Piece of cake. Now, this getting the blood of the lamb and the hyssop bush dipping the branches in the blood and spreading it on the lintel. There is all kinds of symbology in that act. Symbology all over the place in the specific instructions that God gave Moses for saving the lives of the Jewish firstborn sons. So at this point, the color of the front door, painted with the blood of the lamb by a hyssop branch, was crucial to saving a human life. One door, one life. But it required faith. It absolutely required faith. Faith that the nine previous plagues weren't coincidences, because some people were calling them coincidences. Faith that there was a power in the words that Moses was delivering. Faith that by taking this action, the painted blood on their door would save their son. But I think it was couched in fear. Fear we call the opposite of faith. But what we know is that faith and fear cannot coexist in the same place. So whether they, while they were painting, it was faith or fear, it didn't matter. There was an underlying faith that somehow this was going to help. The fear was also that everything Moses was telling them was true. Because that meant if they didn't comply and their own sons died, it was a punishment of their own making. If I were back in that time, I'd be leading the group. Okay, come on, let's get these lambs over here. Let's, you know, who's got the hyssop branches? There's a bunch of them over there. Go cut some branches and let's make sure, you know, check every house. Make sure we got the Joneses and the Smiths and the Millers and the Murphys. We got, you know, and the Levis and the Aarons. You know, let's make sure all of them have this on their lintel. And don't be sparing. Brush it on good and thick so the angels don't miss it. Well, sure enough, the angels of death went through Egypt. Now, this is the biblical story I'm relating to you, killing the firstborn sons. But when they came to the houses with the blood of the lamb and the scent of hyssop on the lintels, they did what Moses said they would do. They passed over those houses and spared the lives of the innocent, of the inhabitants. They passed over. Passover comes into play with the symbology. Now, this is a pretty brutal story, but it was in a different time. The powerful outcome of this story cannot be understated. It meant that the first nine plagues were not a coincidence. It meant an enormous renewal of faith in the Jewish people. It meant a questioning of what just happened. What did I see? By the Egyptian rulers and the Egyptian citizens and probably quite a few of the Jewish people. What just happened? Some God somewhere loves me and my family so much that they're not just getting us free, they're saving our children. It shook the foundations of not just Egyptian power, but the power structures of other nations who heard the reports from travelers. Remember that trade was conducted by caravan back then. It fostered fear and respect of the God of Moses, but mostly it's about overcoming fear and doubt with an inner peace beyond understanding. If you were a Jewish person back then, and you saw all these miracles happening just to get you safely out of Egypt so you could go back home. That impacts how we feel. We are so loved by our Creator that He will scare the bejesus out of all of Egypt. It will kill the eldest sons, which were the namesake, the way to keep their families going, and protect my child. Being a mom, I can tell you, whatever it takes, I will protect my child. If it takes me sacrificing myself or things, no problem. Where do I sign up? Protect my children. If we look at that in a divine sense, we can think of God the Father protecting His children and laying the groundwork for the Passover before the crucifixion, when his own son was going to die to save all of these Jewish sons. So there's a lot of symbology in there. And the story of the Passover can be seen on the same human level as affirmations and scientific prayers, as vision boards, as reading or listening to spiritually inspirational material, as taking classes, or so many things that people do to be able to live a better life. In the Bible, in Luke chapter 8, verses 46 to 48, Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you whole. Go in peace." Absolutely knowing beyond knowing that if she could just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, then she would be healed. With absolute faith, she stretched out her hand. She took action. She was guided to take this action by spirit within her. It was a knowing. It was a circumstance of deep calling unto deep. It is within each and every one of us, because we are all one life, one source, one spiritual immortal being having a human experience. I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.